We ran out of brochures, so if you happen to have more than one, please put them in the back. Some don't have any.
We will continue our reading in John chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. John chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the sheep, the shepherd, one who does not know own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not on this fold, them also I will bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." Also in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen."
As was emphasized in the opening remarks, and also in the outline, that this section of our study would have to do would do with shepherding. We have looked at evangelism yesterday and even today at the beginning, but we are now about to look into shepherding. The brother in his opening remarks mentioned that the Lord Jesus is the good shepherd, and we should take a cue from him. He is our model. He is our example. And just to make a little connection, we find that in this portion of John's Gospel, in chapter 8, the words of the Lord Jesus are rejected. And at the end of chapter 8 of John's Gospel, we see the Lord Jesus leaving the temple. It says there, they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. And in chapter 9, we find his work is rejected, where the blind man was given sight. And in verse 35, they cast the blind man out of the temple, and Jesus found him alone. So the Lord Jesus comes into the scene. He comes to the poor of the flock. He comes in by the door, as was mentioned in the outline. The God-appointed way, the God-appointed place, the God-appointed time. And he met those who were self-appointed leaders and rulers, those who were steeped in Judaism, and they oppose him. And so he leaves the temple, the system that was all connected with the temple. At the beginning, it was something instituted by God, but it had degenerated now into Judaism. So he leaves the temple. The blind man who confessed faith in him is cast out of the temple, and the Lord reveals himself in chapter 10 as the good shepherd. The good shepherd. He draws them now to himself as the good shepherd, the true shepherd of Israel. There were others who had assumed that place. They were thieves and robbers. They held the people in Judaism. And then later on, he would also declare himself as the door. In the outline, it was also remarked that he's the one through whom we have access to the Father, the door of salvation. But he's also the door of exit from Judaism, the door of exit, whereby he would call those who have faith unto himself away from that system of Judaism. They would hear his voice and respond to his call. So we want to go on in this aspect of shepherding, having in mind the Lord Jesus as the good shepherd.
Sorry, to go back, just a brief comment on our previous study. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 5, but watch thou in all things. So in preaching to others to be an evangelist, you have to watch yourself. Not just the words, but the life. Many people will only read the gospel according to you. They watch your life, and that's how they will come or reject. We know from the story of Lot, when he was in Sodom, he tried to win his sons-in-law, but of course he failed. He was like a mocker in their eyes.
John chapter 10, the verse 1 to 9, we find three doors. Our brother mentioned one door. Verse 1, the door of sheepfold, by which Christ enters to Judaism. Verse 7, the door of sheep was Christ himself who led out the elect of Israel. Verse 9, I am the door of salvation for all. If anyone enters by me, not enters only, there is no entrance except by the Lord Jesus. By me, he will save. The first thing saved, then he will come in and will come out and find pasture. Come in to worship. Come out to evangelize, to great commission. And find pasture means satisfaction. Psalm chapter 17, David said in the last verse, Psalm 17, verse 15, as for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. I am the door, not I am a door. That is, there are many doors. I am the door, only one door. To enter to the Ark of Noah, only one door. And so Noah and his family found a shelter from the flood. One door, one only door to tabernacle, where the Jehovah dwelling place. I am the door. Neither in is there salvation is any other, for is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Only the name of our Lord. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12.
Also, three times in this section that was read, we have I am. Verse 7, I am the door of the sheep. Verse 9, I am the door. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. These are things that he says that are exclusively himself. No one else can make a statement like this. The Lord Jesus is the door of the sheep. I understand, and I can be corrected by those who are familiar with what happened in Eastern countries, that the shepherd himself stood in the door, in the area where the sheep would come out. I understand also that the word shepherd not only means one who cares for sheep, but one who is associated with sheep. He goes through what they go through. And we have in Isaiah 63, in all their affliction, he was afflicted. So the shepherd not only cares for the sheep, but every circumstance that they face, he faces. In the West, the shepherd has a hut. My parents took care of sheep, but they had their place and we had our place. Not so with this shepherd. He suffered what they went through. Everything they faced, he faces. I am the door of the sheep. And then in verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And we see this in chapter 4 in the woman of Samaria. And then he says, shall go in and out. In chapter 5, the man who was healed and shall find pasture. Chapter 6, he provides food for the 5,000. He goes through everything that they go through. Then he says, I am the good shepherd. Last night, it was shared with us, there's none good but God. And here is reference to his deity. Yet, his manhood is made clear to us. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd does something that no other shepherd can do. He gives his life for the sheep. He not only cares for them, he's not only associated and going through what they go through, but he gives his life. He goes beyond what the sheep have to go through. He gives his life for the sheep. What a shepherd. He is our shepherd.
I've always been struck by verse 4. Verse 4 says, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. Thank you. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The voice was not from the strangers that were the Pharisees. The Lord Jesus, he goes before them, and he is the example for them. He's their guide. And it's not that they get saved because they follow him. Because they are saved, they follow him. And they know his voice. And so therefore, in verse 5, it's not the strangers that they hear, because they know the strangers to be those that bring wrong doctrine, that is the Pharisees. And it's an amazing thing how the Lord does things in our lives. As we listen to him, as we follow him, as we see him as the example, don't be so, fearful if he doesn't touch us on the shoulder and speaks to our heart and says, I want you to follow me here or there. And I always remember a missionary telling me, when you hear his voice and you follow his voice, notice that he always goes before them. It says here in verse 4, and he brings them out by his own sheep. He goes before them. He is always before them. And so when we heed his call, when we follow him, we know that he is always ahead of us. He's not behind us. He's actually ahead of us. So there's the confidence that we can have, even in movement, even in conflict, even in circumstances beyond our control. The Lord is before us. We can look off unto him always.
Shepherd, and as the great shepherd, he rejoices over his sheep. Just like to turn to Luke 15, and Luke 15, verse 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he's found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 just persons who need no repentance. And my thoughts then went to John chapter 21, in which we see the Lord restoring Peter. And when the Lord restores Peter, we see that, first of all, in the chapter, the disciples had been fishing, and they had caught nothing. But the Lord He showed them where to catch the fish, and then he brought them ashore, and he said, come and eat breakfast. And when he said that, what did he do? He first looked after their physical needs. Then he was going to pass the torch on to his disciples. But he first had to deal with Peter. And in John 21, verse 15, he says, after they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And then the answer is, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he replies, then feed my sheep. Now, what was the Lord relaying to him there? He was relaying to him, as we had earlier this morning, that there was a love required, a great love for the sheep in order to carry on the work of a shepherd. The Lord Jesus had already laid down his life for the sheep. He was now passing the torch to those that came behind. And three times the Lord says to Peter, he says, feed my lambs. He says, tend my sheep. And he says, feed my sheep. But three times he asked them first, do you love me? How much do you love me? And it's this great love that's required. We know that our Lord died for us because he loved us. He gave his life for us. He was the great shepherd that was prepared to make that sacrifice when dealing with those around us. Do we love them? How much do we love them? What are we prepared to give up in order to bring them back? But remember, there is rejoicing in heaven when they are brought back. And it's all for his glory.
Thank you, dear brother. This, if you look on the brochure, this would be our study number 6. I think it's necessary that we have the brochures. That's why if you have any more, put them in the back. I just want to refer again to the first few verses that we all may be speaking and on the same page. What is the Lord saying about those that do not come through the door, but come any other way? They are thieves and robbers, but I am the one that comes, and the porter openeth the door. The Lord is the shepherd of Israel. That's one of his titles. I can quote the verses, but I'd like to read them. In Psalm 80, verse 1, Asaph says, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubim, shine forth. And in Jacob's blessings to his sons, in chapter 49 of Genesis, when he's blessing Joseph, he says, from thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. So he is the shepherd of Israel, and Israel were waiting on their shepherd to come. There came many that claimed to be the shepherds, and they climbed through different ways, and they were only for the destruction of the sheep. Many, the history shows, that came to Israel and claimed that they are the shepherds, and they were nothing but thieves and robbers. Needless to say, even the good ones, we wouldn't call them thieves and robbers. And I don't think that this is what the Lord referred to. Even the David, he's not a thief and robber. But David, in one time or the other, was a cause to destroy the sheep. He killed one of the sheep when he committed adultery with his wife. And towards the end of his life, he decided to number the people, and he numbered them, and the anger of the Lord was kindled on him. And he was a cause to destroy thousands of Israel. And at the end, David says, I have sinned, but those sheep, what have they done? We do not claim that these are the thieves and robbers, but the history says that some came claiming that they are the shepherd, and they were nothing but to destroy the sheep. But then he says, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And brethren alluded to this. He came by the door, the son of David, born of the virgin in Bethlehem, after the 69th year of Daniel's 70 years. And all the prophecy, they point to him. And the word of God point to him, say, this is the shepherd. To him the porter openeth the door. And the Spirit of God declares, and the God the Father from heaven declares, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. John the Baptist declares that he is the one. He says repeatedly, I told you, I am not the one. The one come after me, who is before me. He that cometh from above is above all. So all these, they open the door for him to declare that he is the shepherd. He comes through the door. All others, they came climbing from other way. And then he goes in the sheepfold, that is the fold of Israel, and then he calls his own sheep out, the Anna and Simeon and all those that we read of in Luke chapter 1 and 2, and all those Jewish that were in the fold, he calls them out from the door, and he goes out the door of the sheepfold, out of Judaism, and calls them out into a new era. Not anymore in a sheepfold, but in, they become his flock. So he calls them out, he goes before them as he did with all the Israelites that were in the fold, the faithful Israelites that were there waiting for the Messiah, waiting for the shepherd, and they come out with him, and he goes before them, and they knew his voice. Of course, there's a lot of exhortation, as we heard from the brethren, that we should know his voice. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And then also, in verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of them. So that is in the present dispensation. But in the very beginning, he called his sheep, the Israelites, out in order to form his flock. And we are part of his flock. And then in the some of the verses that we read at last, in verse 16, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one flock, not one fold, one flock and one shepherd. So the Gentiles that were not in the fold, he calls us here, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. They are not of Judaism. We've never been in Judaism, although many of the Christians now are trying to go into the fold again. But there's no fold anymore. But the Gentiles are the other sheep. I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. And it is a blessed thing that we know him, our good shepherd, who gave his life for the sheep.
I wonder if we could turn to Psalm 78 for a moment. I was thinking about the Good Shepherd and what a Good Shepherd does. And this is a wonderful example of our Lord here as that shepherd. Psalm 78 and 53. And he led them on safely, so they feared not. I see today in this difficult world many young people that are uncertain of decisions. We are in difficult times, and older people too. Times like many of us have never seen before. And I was thinking how we have these meetings today and yesterday. We've had our shepherd before us, the one who loves us, the one who died for us. And we also have a responsibility in this scene to shepherd the sheep here too. As older ones in the assembly, there's a responsibility to guide and teach. And I was thinking how these dear ones here were at a very difficult time when this verse is referenced to. They were fleeing from the Egyptians who wanted to kill them. Well, it's no different than Satan today. He wants to kill you too. He doesn't want people to feel at peace and at ease. So it says here, he led them on safely so that they feared not. But the sea overwhelmed their enemies. The sea here was a tool used by the Lord God at that time, as we know, to destroy the enemy. And says, here's what I thought I had before me that I enjoyed. And he brought them to the border of his sanctuary, even to this mountain, which his hand had purchased. He's very specific in where he took his children to, a sanctuary, a place of safety where he had placed his name for his people to go to. And that's what a shepherd does. He guides his people to a place of a sanctuary where there is security, where there is certainty. As we mentioned earlier about the churches going back to the old Judaism system, is that going to give certainty? Is that going to give security? People look for security. There's a natural desire for that. But are they going to find that in that system? I don't believe so. It only is found where the shepherd himself is going to wrap his loving arms around you and bring his truth before us. How do we know what that truth is? How are we going to discern that truth? Well, that's another subject in itself, but I know in 1 Timothy we're told to meditate in the Word of God. Only through His Word can we come to know what the truth is. You must buy the truth for yourself. That's very important, because so sadly we lean on other people to give us the truth. And the shepherd will guide you into that truth. But you have to be willing and wanting to know what the truth is. And that sanctuary spoken here is that where God was bringing his children of Israel into, a place where the truth was upheld, where he is given that place of preeminence. And that is sadly neglected in these last days. Jesus is our head. He is our shepherd. He is the one who has the answers for us. And so often these verses are overlooked, and we need to go back to them and understand what's here for us. What do we need to get from these verses? I was reading the word rightly this morning. Rightly dividing the Word of God. There are many preachers today, many speakers. Sound very good at times, and some of them I respect for what they have as a gift in that sense, but when I start to listen to what they say and I look at the scriptures, I fear they are not rightly dividing the Word of God. And that is sadly what people today don't want to hear. They don't want to hear that the Word of God has to be rightly divided. They think they can have their own views. They That's what we're hearing more and more today. And I won't, that's another subject. It says here, he cast out the heathen also before them and divided them inheritance by the line. A shepherd will do what is necessary to guide and protect the sheep. I was looking at 1 Kings, or Samuel I should say today, for a few moments of my own reading, and how David went back to his flock after having been with Saul. He was in the world for a little while. He had a victory, but what did he do? He went back to his sheep. He was known for that. In fact, it was told to Saul that's where he was. That was a man who had his sheep before his heart. There are many we see today that have the sheep before their hearts. And that's because, as we had before us earlier, they have the love of God before them. I was thinking 1 Corinthians 14. This was for our assembly. I want to read this verse because it's been before me this morning several times. 1 Corinthians 14. In chapter, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 1. And then I'll sit down. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. The shepherd has love for the brethren. The shepherd has love for the sheep. That's why David went back to his sheep, because he loved them, he cared for them. I'm just going to give one last example. There was two men who read Psalm, I believe it's 23, some of you may know about this. And one man read the verse, nobody blinked an eye hardly. These verses, another man read, and there were tears, read the same scriptures exactly. What was the difference between the two readers? One knew the shepherd, one didn't know the shepherd. There are many people who read the scriptures who don't know the shepherd intimately and love the sheep. Those that know the shepherd intimately and love the sheep are the men that God uses, and women too, are also used as evangelists in different ways, but in a public fashion, the men are used to speak out as evangelists, and they are able to reach the hearts of souls. I know dear ones in this room that I've got to know over the last 2 years who have a love for the sheep, but they also have a love to give the gospel out to the lost. And that love is so much needed. And that's what you see in a shepherd, is love. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the epitome of love. 1 John tells us that God is love. Well, Jesus Christ is God in man form, and he showed love in ways that are way beyond our comprehension, and we're going to spend a whole eternity getting to know his love.
I'd like us to take us back to this portion and really address, as we desire, the conference that it might speak to us. And in verses 3, well, I read verse 2 and 3, where we notice the shepherd, or the Lord's, entered by the door as the shepherd. And the sheep hear his voice. Nothing more is said. The sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. Twice it's mentioned, his own sheep. So I want to ask the shepherd, or I want to ask all of us here, how much do we know of this? Have we learned, or are we? Do we recognize that we are owned by him? Do we have this relationship? Are we hearing his voice? Are we in communion with him? And as a result of communion, we're following him. The Lord didn't tell them, you've got to be shepherds. They simply were sheep. They followed him. They knew his voice. This is not a doctrine. This is a wonderful fact and experience. So I ask the question, how, to what extent do I know the shepherd's voice in my life? Have I had that communion with him? But because I know him, I know his voice, he's spoken to me. And I've been led out. I've been led out of everything that was contrary to him. Out to simply to follow him. Stepped out in faith. And so as I went out, we need not think about what others are doing. These sheep, they didn't say, well, look at what about these others in the fold? What are they doing? How are they behaving? They're all wrong. No, that wasn't the point. The point was, and for us is, am I personally in that intimate relationship that I hear his voice and following him? And then as he goes on, he says to them that I am the door, as we've pointed out, but before I go there, I give an example of chapter 9 of this very fact. Here was a blind man whose eyes the Lord had opened. And when he didn't know the Lord, but you know the story, when he comes and meets the blind man, where was he found? They cast him out of the synagogue because he bore witness to one whom he had never met, but he was outside. Then the Lord comes and meets him. Do you believe in the Son of God? Who is he that I might be? Well, I am he. I am he. Falls down and worships him. He meets him. The Lord meets him in the outside place. The Lord had already been cast out. And so he meets him there. And the place to meet and commune with the Lord is in the outside place. There we'll find the enjoyment and the food, the nourishment. He feeds them there. We'll find food there. Then we will be in a condition to help other sheep, because we've fed. We've been satisfied. We don't have to go and explain to them how wrong they are. We have to go out and tell them how great the shepherd is and the joy that there is in following him. But if we don't have that joy in following him, if we've been occupied and are occupied with what others do, these do, and they don't do and should do, we'll never come to this point, and we'll never learn the lesson that we want to learn here today. And so the thieves and the robbers, we've heard about that. Brother Wagdy made very clear the setup. Just here then in the end where he, again I want to repeat verse 16, to make that distinction, that other sheep I have which are not of this fold. So there he speaks of the Gentiles, you and me, I guess most of us here are of that other, are those other sheep. And he says, them I also must bring. I love that. I must bring. There's that compelling in his heart to bring others into the gain of what he had for them. What there is found when we follow him in that outside place. Much to gain. That's where he opens up the truth to his people. That's where he feeds them. That's where you learn when all the other things are dropped away. You find how he himself opens up, elucidates the scripture, because he's the theme, the content of it. And so he says here then, and that he has, there should be, he desires that there should be one flock, not fold, and one shepherd. Think of the desire of the Lord. One flock. And brethren, where are we? Where are we? Just heard about the two expressing, you know, about one, as he said, knew the shepherd. The other knew the psalm, but he knew the shepherd. And I've heard it said, you know, we may be rightly dividing the word of truth, wrongly dividing ourselves. That is a history. But is that where we're to remain? God desires in these last days. We heard about the last epistles that were written. Well, you know, Timothy was written about 25 years before John's gospel was written. That's for the last days. Why are John's epistles so important for the last days? Because they present as none other the blessedness and the greatness of our Lord Jesus Christ and all that we possess in him. And so here he lays down and he says, now therefore doth my Father love me. We talk about love, but he wants to teach us now what drew the Father's love upon him. Didn't he always love him? Read chapter 3. The Father loves the Son. Chapter 5, we have it again. But here we have, therefore. The Lord Jesus gave another incentive for the Father to love him that was not there before. And that was by his stooping down. And he says, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. Notice, he doesn't say the Father will raise me here. I lay it down. I will take it again in himself. This commandment, though, he says, I have of my Father. He did nothing without in perfect communion with the Father. And thus, he is given us the example. Lay it down on myself. We talked about, are we prepared to give ourselves, to give up, to leave the comfort zone? Are we prepared to go that? Here's the answer. Here's the answer. As we find in him what he did, he laid it down. He had power to lay it down and take it up again. But he says, this commandment I received of my Father. He became poor that we, through his poverty, might be made rich. Blessed Savior.
I like to speak of the shepherd. It has been alluded to. With the shepherd, there is safety and there is protection. We read in verse 4, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. And this is not sentimental, not spiritual. This is actual. That he goes before them. There is an enemy that is facing the sheep. The leader, the shepherd, is before the sheep. If the enemy wants to hurt the sheep, they have to hurt the shepherd first. Our brother alluded to Luke 15. He carries, when he finds the sheep, he puts the sheep on his shoulder, rejoicing. And someone said that the statute of the sheep becomes as high as the statute of the shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. I know them. He knows every one of us. I know you by name, and I have loved you. Therefore, if the enemy wants to come to me, and I am carried on the shoulder of the shepherd, like someone said, the enemy has to kill the shepherd first before he can reach to me. David, we heard about some of his shortcomings, But in a way, he was a good shepherd, a good shepherd. When he stood before Saul, and Saul saw him as a little boy, how can he fight Goliath? David would reiterate the story that there was a bear and there was a lion that came in, a picture of the enemy that wanted to devour the sheep. By the grace of God, he could overcome both of them because he cared for his sheep. He put his life on the altar that he could have died, but David was a good example for that. And then David himself tells us that when Saul killed the priests of the Lord and Abiathar ran and fled, he tells him beautiful words that are good for every one of us. He said, "Stay with me, do not fear, for he who seeks my life seek your life, but with me you shall be safe." And the Lord Jesus tells each one of us, with me, don't be afraid. Brethren, we are not talking about things just only spiritual, but even in this world, you know, those of us who are in touch with saints in the Middle East, in Egypt, and in Syria, in Iraq, they are practicing these words literally. There is no government. There is no protection. There is no security. But in all that, they feel that they are safe with the shepherd. He will never give them up. He knows us by name, each one of us. And each one of us is precious to him. I was reading about the history of the church, Andrew Muller, and it was a eulogy about Brother Zwingli or Zwingli. And he was a good shepherd. He was a shepherd according to the mind of the Lord. It's sad to say that Zwingli went out, whatever it was, right or wrong, but he was a shepherd that went before the sheep. And Zwingli died in the battlefield against papacy because he was a good shepherd.
Yes, a good shepherd. If we see here the shepherd talking, in Psalm 23, the sheep talking, and the sheep says, "I don't need anything, I've been looked after." Even how the shepherd know that this sheep, he need still water. If you watch all the animals come to the creek, they drink. Except the sheep, they stop looking for curve and the water doesn't move, they drink. Sheep is very weak, need a shepherd. The shepherd have know him. If you see in Middle East, the shepherd go to the mountain, and all his time is with the sheep. He don't have text to send. He don't have TV or anything, just watching. Especially the small lambs. He put his eyes on them. He carry them when he move a lot because they are tired. And he put them on his shoulder. And when he put him in his shoulder, his head very close to his ears, he can hear their breath. The relationship between shepherd and sheep, it's very special. And not everyone can be shepherd. One of my relatives in the north of Iraq was a shepherd. And he is just something we know him. When he come at the night, and the sheep coming, and He have a donkey and the donkey have a bell, so we know he's coming by the bell ringing. And a quiet gentleman, and he know those lambs. Before he sit down, he go and pick a couple of them and he want to treat them. He know what those sheep need. Psalm 23 tell us exactly what the sheep talking about. The Lord, and you want us to be evangelized, and you want us to be a shepherd out. Yes, he has to be with us, and he is the only one can do everything. But if we look in Matthew 5, he sat on the mountain. He is the king, talking and open his mouth. And the people was expecting he gonna tell, you know, his agenda as a king, like anybody run for president. I am gonna get rid of the Roman. I am gonna make a militia to fight the Roman. I am. Listen what he start to talk. First thing he opened his mouth to teach, the open hand set, and his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught, saying, and look at all those nine, bless the poor in the spirit, bless the people who is meek, bless, and all those nine things he went through it. If you look at them, suddenly after the bliss and after he say, rejoice, and he be executing and glad for a great of your reward in heaven, because they're gonna against you freshly and may kick you out. Suddenly, out of the blue, he switched to something it doesn't match. Yeah. Are the salt of the earth. Out of the blue. Then 14, you are the light. So, he put those character. It's for disciples. It's your identity. Your qualification. To be salt. To be light. And then in 16 says, let the light so shine in the for man that may see your good work and glorify your Father. Your good work, glorify your Father. In 20, for I say unto you that except of the righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Then in 45, that they may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven, you make his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the justice. 48, therefore, perfect even, and you, Father, which is heaven, perfect. Yes, brethren, we hear all. He is the shepherd. And now we're going to carry the message to be evangelist and shepherd. We have to be his disciples, and we have some qualification because we are his ambassadors. His ambassadors. If I'm gonna go and meet people and evangelize, I have to the ambassador, and that ambassador has to go through courses and training to be ambassador. And the disciples, first time they called Christian because something in them is a Christ. And we are called Christian.
May we sing together hymn number 299.